Amen. Well, the young folks, children can be dismissed to junior church, to children's church at this time. And for those of us who are remaining here in the auditorium, please take your Bibles. And please, if you can, have a copy of the Holy Scriptures open before you to Psalm 119. We're going to be looking at verses 9 through 16. If you're using one of the Pew Bibles, it's page number 512 in the Pew Bible. Let's turn to Psalm 119. This psalm is a very famous psalm for a number of reasons. One, it's the longest chapter, the longest psalm that we have in Scripture, but also every verse, nearly every verse in this psalm, which there are over 150 verses in this psalm, nearly every verse points to the Word of God. And so we're going to be looking at Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. I appreciate the song, all the songs we sang this morning. The first three really focus on the love of God. And I know that with it being Valentine's, we think about the love that we have for one another, or remember the love that we've been able to have for those in the past. And we look forward to being reunited with them again one day, if they're with the Lord. But also hopefully draws our attention to the perfect love of God and how we can even know what it is to love one another. But our first songs, three songs this morning, focused on that. But that song we just sang, Open My Eyes That I May See. Most of you familiar with that song? Okay, it's an older hymn, but I love if you look at the progression of that song. First of all, it talks about open my eyes as I come to read your word, if we're able to read God's word. And this morning we want to look at helps that we can see in Scripture, or helps that we can have for reading, studying, and applying God's Word. But as we open our eyes to read God's Word, we don't just want to read the Word and then walk away and not let it change us, or not walk away and not understand what God has for us in His Word. And that next verse says, open my ears that I may hear. So even like today, as we listen to the preaching of God's Word, or as you listen to the Word of God read at home or preached at home, perhaps on a recording, we want to hear the voice of truth. We want to hear God's word. But that chorus, every part of the chorus, that last phrase says, open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. We need God's Holy Spirit to open our hearts and eyes to understand His word. That's the beauty of being a Christian. We receive God's Holy Spirit. We receive the full indwelling of the Holy Spirit when we become a Christian. We believe in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And now His Spirit teaches us. That word illumine is the picture of bringing light to that which is not clear. And so we thank the Lord that we can understand His word. And then I love that last verse, open my mouth that I can go tell people about what God has been teaching me. We're going to be talking about those themes this morning. In Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16, I'd like to just read that passage. We'll have a word of prayer that God will give us understanding as we come to His word, that we will understand it and obey it as He calls us to. But let's read the passage to begin with. Verse 9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart. Why? So that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies, I delight. As much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Let's have a word of prayer as we come. This is a very rich passage, but I think even within this passage, we can glean some truths and some helps for us as we study and obey the word of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you help us in understanding your word as your church, as your Christians, as your people. Father, I pray that you would help us as we come to your word this morning to know that your word is true, to know that your word is clear, and that it gives us everything we need for life and godliness. I pray that you would use your Holy Spirit in our lives this morning as we come to your word to help us to not just hear your word, but to be doers of your word, to love your word, to love your truth. I pray that the words of my mouth will be clear and will be accurate to your passage this morning that we have before us. Father, we thank you for your word. You've given to us so freely. We have it so abundantly. May we be good students of the word, good Christians, godly Christians for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What I'd like to do this morning is a little different format, and I appreciate those praying for me. On Wednesday night, I asked folks to pray for me as I prepared for our time in the Word this morning, because it's a little different format this morning. We're going to come to the text, we're going to walk through these several verses here, but then we're going to branch out, and we're going to look at some help, some tips, if I could say that, some things that help me as I study the Word, but aren't just unique to me. We get them right from the Word of God, and helps for reading, studying, and applying God's Word. If you've been reading through the Bible in a year, you're probably in that time. If you started in Genesis, you may be in Exodus or Leviticus. And we get to some passages in the Word of God that sometimes are maybe difficult to understand. Or how do we glean from here what God wants me to glean? And I believe that if we will apply what we see in God's Word this morning to our lives, it will not matter what passage of Scripture that we are in, we can draw good truths from God's Word, and we can have confidence, not only that God's Word is true, but that He gives us the wisdom that we need to obey Him, to love Him, to become more like Jesus. As we look at verses 9 through 11, though, I want to just look briefly at these three verses and make some observations, and then will lead us to a big idea or a proposition that I would have for us this morning. David, we believe, is the author here, and as we go through this psalm, you might have above verse 9 in your Bible a Hebrew letter that says Beth. Okay, Beth. That is the letter B, so to speak, the second letter of the alphabet. And this psalm is an acronistic psalm. It goes through the entire Hebrew alphabet. It was a way for children and adults to memorize the Word of God. And in this verse, and in this section, verses 9 through 16, each of these sentences in the Hebrew begin with the letter B. Now, we don't see it in English because it doesn't translate that way. But it's how they could learn truths about God and His Word. And so this section is a very, by the Holy Spirit, given to help us know the Word of God and to know why we should trust God's Word and obey it. The first three verses, I want to read those again. It says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your Word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander away from your commandments. I have stored up your Word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. We see the heart mentioned a couple times, once in verse 10, once in verse 11. This is a very personal, intimate communion with God, a commitment to hide God's Word in our hearts, to obey it, to love it, to cherish it. I would just say, first of all, this morning, an observation is that God's Word guards us from sin. It is like a shield to us from sin, from going off the wrong way. God's Word guards us from sin so that we can keep our way pure. In verse 9, when it says, how can I keep my way pure? That word way is the word for road. How can I keep my pathway pure? Right. How can I keep heading in the right direction? And we know, we see in our own lives, we see in our world today, there are so many opportunities to go the wrong way or to get tripped up on something else that is not true. And David, as he writes this psalm, he knew in his life the struggles with sin, the temptations to sin. He had fallen into sin and had been restored to fellowship with God through repentance. But he knew what it was to be struggling with sin as a follower of God. He says, God, how can I keep my way? And here he even looks at the picture of a young man, a man who is beginning to turn into a man, and who you think of the temptations that can be around us. But this young people today are bombarded with so much. But this would be applicable to a young man or an old man, an older woman, a younger woman, an individual who wants to live for God. How can I keep my way clean? How can I make sure I'm on the pure path, the right path, the true path? By guarding that way, by guarding that pathway according to your Word, making sure that when I'm on this path, I'm not doing anything that goes against the Word of God, letting God's Word guide me, guard me, protect me. And then in verse 10, he makes it clear that I want to seek after you, God. My whole heart wants to seek to be like you. So God, here's a prayer. Would you let me not wander from your commandments? We see that God's Word guards us from sin so that we can keep our way pure. But the responsibility comes for us. We need to seek after God. We need to seek after God's truth with our whole heart and allow His Word to be stored up in our heart. I think that leads us, as we'll see later, to memorizing God's Word. Verse 11, I have stored up your Word in my heart. You know, we are so blessed today to have God's Word so readily available. I We have Bibles all over this building. I'm sure we have Bibles all over our homes. We have it on our phones. We have it so readily available today on our computers, our tablets. But in David's day, there were very few written copies of the Word of God because it was such an incredible expense. It took quite a time, a long process to get those animal skins cleaned and cured and made in very thin, because that's what they would write their scrolls on most of the time, very thin animal skin. And then not everyone could read and write well. And so in those days, God's word was many times translated or transferred orally. They would hear the word of God read, and then they would store that word in their heart, and they would memorize it, and they would hear it over and over and over again. They would store it in their heart. Now, the challenge for us today is, well, I have God's word, I can read it, and that's a blessing. But we should not miss the fact that we need to be memorizing, storing it up in our hearts. If any of you had a conversation with someone maybe recently, and you're talking with them, and all of a sudden this verse of scripture just comes to mind, and maybe it's not word for word, but that concept, that principle comes out, and you say, yeah, we need to love God because he's called us to love him and love one another. He even says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit. You're like, where did that come from? Well, it came from the Lord, but it comes from reading his word and hearing it, seeing it, listening to it, and storing it. I think also as we go on in verses 12 and 13, we see some other principles here. It says, verse 12, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. We should ask God to teach us his word. And we'll talk about that in a minute when we look at some of these specific ways and helps and tips as we study his word. But pray to the Lord, even before you begin reading. Pray, God, would you teach me your word? Would you help me to know what I need to know so that I'll faithfully go and tell others? You see in verse 12, it says, teach me your statutes. Then look at verse 13. With my lips, my mouth, I declare all the rules of your mouth. I declare your word, the Lord, God, David saying, with my lips, I'll share the word to others. And so, God, would you teach me so that I can faithfully declare your word to others? And then notice in verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways, your paths that you call me to follow in your word. That word meditate is a very important word, and we'll talk about that again as we go on. But as we declare his word to others, we need to be meditating on its truths. That word meditate doesn't mean just hear it once and then close it and then don't think about it anymore. For those of you who have been teachers in the past, and we have a number of folks in here who have taught in the past, and you hope that as you teach your students that they will actually not just let it go in one ear and come out the other ear. Have you heard that? And so as you say it, maybe you have a test, you say, now listen, we have an exam coming up. Look at your notes. Meditate over them. Maybe you don't say meditate. You say study, look over. Meditating is really reviewing over and over and over again what you've read and heard. It's kind of a gross example, so I hope it doesn't offend anybody, but it's the picture, really, of an animal like a cow who has a number of stomachs chewing over and over his food, going to one stomach, and then that cud coming up and chewing it again. But how did God create that animal with all those stomachs? To get every possible nutrient they can out of that grass or that hay. And as it comes back and they chew it up again, and they go on that, that's the picture of meditating. You read God's word, but we don't just read his word and, okay, I read it, whew, but throughout the day, throughout the week, we are meditating, and as that word comes back to mind, or we go back to the word again, I want to read that again. I want to meditate on that again. We're gleaning truths. We're meditating on God's word. And so when he says, I will meditate on your precepts, verse 15, and fix my eyes on your ways, he's like, I want to know what is true because I want my way to be pure. So I'm going to see the ways that God has called me, the pathways that are right, and he will show me in his word. And then real quickly, before we look at some of these tips, I think in verse 14 and 16, I want to read those two verses. He says, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. If you were out in the woods and you stumbled across this box and you open the box and there's just a huge amount of gold and jewelry and precious jewels, then your eyes would light up and you'd be like, whoa, this treasure. Now these days you'd probably report it to the authorities and find out who it was, but you'd be like, wow, that's amazing. Here, David is saying, in your testimonies. Notice here's the word way again. In the pathway of your word, your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. David knew what riches were as a king. He knew gold. He knew precious stones. He's saying, your word tops it all. And I actually delight in your word. I don't just do it because I have to. There's a delight to read the word. And look at the last verse, 16. He says it again. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I think we see here, as we delight in God's word, we will learn how to delight. I should say, we will delight in God's word more than any earthly treasure as we grow in our understanding of its truth. You think of a relationship that you have with someone, and perhaps it's a husband or a wife or a very close relationship. As you grow in your relationship with that individual, you grow in your delight of that individual. What David is saying here is, I am meditating on your word. You are teaching me. I am sharing it word with others, and I am just delighting more and more with the word of God as I see it making me more like God. That's our goal. And so as we come to God's word, notice all the personal things that David says he will do. Look at verse 10. I, with my whole heart, I will seek you. Verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart. Verse 13, I will declare with my lips all the rules of your mouth. Verse 14, I delight in your testimonies. Verse 15, I will meditate and fix my eyes. Verse 16, I will delight, I will not forget. Now, this is not giving David the credit, but it's showing that there is a responsibility. And David has a plan. He has a plan. I have to study the word of God, and I have to be careful and diligent to do it the right way. So that leads to our big idea this morning. The big idea this morning is this: obeying God's word. Because ultimately, the whole point of David doing this is, I want to obey your word. I want to walk in your ways, right? Obeying God's word requires an effective action plan. Obeying God's word requires an effective action plan. I don't remember if it was J.I. Packer or if it was another author, but he said, there is no one who just falls into holiness. No one just trips and falls into holiness. It takes an active responsibility to obey the word of God. As I was thinking this morning in Sunday school, and Ben was teaching from 1 John, and just fits so well with what we're talking about this morning, there are no shortcuts to godliness. There are no shortcuts to holiness. It has to come through the word of God. We can only be holy like God. We can only become on this side of the cross like Christ if we obey his word. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will do what I say. Well, it's imperative then that we know what God has called us to do. And it requires diligence. It requires an effective plan. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 says, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Holy. God is quoting from Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. There are no shortcuts to holiness. David knew this. He says, Lord, I want to be diligent. I want to obey your word. I want to have an effective plan. And I underlined effective on there because we can make plans, but if they don't work, then they're not good plans. Now, some of that is us just having to, I know sometimes I'll say, I'm going to do this today, and then I need to do it, right? But sometimes we may come to God's word, and this is what I'm burdened about. In Nehemiah chapter, you don't need to turn there, but Nehemiah chapter 7, I'm sorry, chapter 8, verse 8. I'm just going to read a verse. This is Ezra and other leaders, right, religious leaders or spiritual leaders in the Old Testament. They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. One of my greatest burdens as pastor here at Open Door is that as we read the word, we understand it. One of the most frustrating things is to come to God's word and then not understand it and to feel like, did I really get anything out of this? And then maybe we go back the next day, and maybe because we're not understanding how to study God's word, or we're not coming to it with the right focus, or we've never considered what is a right effective plan to study God's word. If we're not careful, we'll only get the word on Sunday. And if we're not careful, we'll just leave our time of God's word to the pastor or to other teachers. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to know his word, to meditate on it, to study it, and to come and to share and to learn his word from those who he has gifted to be teachers and guidances in the word. But that doesn't mean that we don't, for ourselves, study the word as well. So my burden is that we'll understand the word well. So that's my thoughts coming into this morning. It comes straight from the word of God. We need to have an effective plan, an action plan for studying God's word. So this morning, we'd like to look at some helps. And so there's a handout there, and I hope it doesn't look like too much, but what's on the handout, we're going to cover on the screen as well. But I hope you'll hold on to this for a little bit, not because it's from me, but hopefully this will be encouragement to you, maybe as you go even to read the word. Now, this is not me telling you have to do all these five things in this way, but these could be some helps. And I think that these should be things that we incorporate into our overall life. I'm just going to check and see if the mic's on. Is it on? You guys in here? Okay. All right. It didn't sound like it was on. Okay. First of all, pray. Pray as we come to God's word. If you look at the passage that we just read, 9 through 16, this whole section is a prayer. It's a prayer to God. God, would you help me understand your word? So I would encourage us as we come to God's word, whether it's in the morning, or the afternoon, the evening, even before. Why do we start with prayer in our service? Why do we start with prayer before our message? Because we want God to help us in our heart be ready to read, to listen, to receive God's word. So God, I encourage you to pray. Pray that God would help prepare your heart, that your heart would be ready to read and receive God's word. And the psalmist here, David, even gives us some things that we can pray for. You can pray, God, would you protect me from sin? Have ever of you been reading God's word and all of a sudden all these things that you have to do during the day start coming into your mind? And you get kind of distracted. God, would you just protect me from distractions? And maybe that even needs to be part of our plan. Maybe we need to find a time of the day where there are the least amount of distractions. For some, it may be early morning. For some, it may be at night. Some, it may be in the afternoon. But again, it's part of having an effective plan. But God, pray, will you protect me from sin as I read your word? Because let me tell you, when you set aside time to read God's word, Satan wants nothing of it. He's going to do all he can to distract you. You may say, you know what? For these next time I'm in that word, I'm turning off the phone. I'm turning on the answering machine, making sure the voicemail works. But I'm going to set aside time with God. God, would you protect me? Protect this time. Pray also for understanding, obviously. Help me, Lord. In verse 12, we see David asking for, teach me your word. Pray that God would give you understanding as you come to his word and correct understanding. Pray that God would give you boldness as you hear this word. Verse 13, to declare his word to others. Pray that as you come to God's word, he'll cause you to delight in his word, to rejoice in his word. One of the most wonderful things I find is when I'm reading God's word, and maybe I think, okay, I'm going to try to spend 30 minutes here, or I'm going to try to spend this much time here. And as you get going, all of a sudden you're like, oh, that time went away. You can't get enough of God's word. You delight in his word. More and more. And pray for direction. Verse 15, I want to fix my eyes on your way. So God, would you give me direction? Help me to understand clearly what I need to obey today as your child. Maybe one other thing you pray for is retention. That's a big one, isn't it? God, help me to remember. Store this word in my heart. I pray you'd help me to not forget, as the last verse says, verse 16, help me not to forget your word today. Help me to retain it. Would you bring this to my mind throughout the day? And there are other ways that we can help with that as well. But we go to God in prayer. So first of all, I would say, encourage you, pray. Secondly, as we come to God's word, now we come to study. So now we need to study. And I would say, carefully and diligently read God's word. Now this may be, you may be going through a Bible reading plan, and you may be reading chapters at a time. You may be reading one verse at a time. Maybe you're doing a study on a phrase. But whatever you're doing, read God's word carefully and diligently. And along with that, I would say, do your best to not have interruptions. Now, we can't avoid it. Interruptions happen. But as much as within you, focus on the word of God. Carefully and diligently read it. So I would say here, context. And I put even red asterisks on the screen, but context. You hear me say this often. But what is context? Well, context is a number of things, but it really boils down to don't jump in just cold turkey into a passage of scripture and not know what's going on around it. So here we have a psalm. Okay, it's a psalm. David wrote most of the psalms. We see here that verses 9 through 16, okay, it's not the beginning, it's the second part of the psalm. What is its setting? Its setting. Well, we have the author here. Now, the author isn't named, so you may need to do some research. A study Bible could be helpful here because they have notes that'll share that. But I would say with the study Bible, the only The only thing we have to be careful of with study Bibles is we don't just run all the time to the notes. We want to run to the text first. But sometimes when you first start, it can help you. Where is this written to? Who's writing? So knowing the author, the audience, some of the Psalms we don't know exactly. And we don't always have to know the author, but if we can, that could help. Or the audience. Here it seems to be the people of God, written in the Old Testament, more than we believe written by David. And are there surrounding passages? And a psalm, a lot of psalms are shorter. So maybe you'll read the whole psalm, but maybe you're just reading one section. Well, you might take a couple moments just to read what came before. Maybe you want to read after. Psalms are a little different because they're poetry. That leads to the next thing on their the genre. Man, are we feel like we're going back to literature class? Genre. You know, God allowed his word to be recorded in different types of genres. So here we are in a poem, a psalm. And it's going to be written and formed a little differently than the story of Daniel in the lion's den, which is a true story. A story is narrative. There's different genres. And on Sunday evenings, when we get back to our Bible study on Sunday evenings, we're going to have one of these to look at the different genres of Scripture. How do we understand what is going on? How do we come to this with the right mindset? But be aware, oh, this is a poem, this is a psalm. Or this is a story, or this is a prophecy, or this is a letter, an epistle in the New Testament, or it is dealing with end times root truths. It's helpful to know that as we begin reading it. And also, one here, and this isn't trying to get all technical, but canonical significance, the canon of Scripture. When we say the canon of Scripture, we mean all the books of the Bible, all 66 books of the Bible that we have preserved as God's Word. Where does this passage I'm reading fall into that? Where does it fall into God's overall story of redemption that he gives me? Here, this is looking forward to Jesus. Jesus hasn't come yet, has he? Jesus is coming one day, and yet God has given his word to his people Israel. He's given his word all the way back to Adam and Eve. He's given it to Moses, and now David is on the scene, and he is diligently reading and studying the word of God. Those things can be helpful. Don't have to spend a long time, but it's helpful to understand. But also along the way, as we're studying, we're still studying, look for key words, phrases, or themes in the passage. Well, some of the key words we saw that we just read, we saw heart mentioned several times, a couple times. We saw ways or pathways. We definitely saw the theme of God's word throughout this whole thing. Those are things that, again, and I would encourage you to get out a piece of paper and a notepad and paper. Write down questions, or we'll talk about questions we should ask of the text. Write down key words. You say, wow, this sure seems like study. Yes. Because if you really want to know something well, you're going to study it. And you're going to learn it. And we're going to glean truths from God's word. But there's different key words. If you see a command or an imperative, we would call it. When God says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, that's a command. It's a call, an imperative from God. Those are very important. How about verbs, even the verbs in here? How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Okay, he's using a very, almost a military term, a personal defense term, a guarding it. God's word will help guard me from sin. The verbs are very important. Now, I was not good with grammar growing up. So don't take this from someone who loves English grammar. I struggle with grammar a lot. But as I've grown in reading God's word, every word counts. And especially those action words, those commands, the verbs, or even the participles that support the verb and the imperative. And another big one, especially in the Old Testament, is repetition. Are there things, are there words that have been repeated in this passage? And you will see that much in the Psalms. My heart, storing up your word, delight your word, teach me. You'll see this repeated. Because back in that day, remember how not all of God's word, not everyone had, I should say, a written copy of God's word. So sometimes people, like maybe you're like me, I'll have a study Bible and I will write a note in the side, or maybe I'll underline something, but you didn't do that back then because you wanted this copy of the word of God to last a long time. So they didn't underline, they didn't bold, they didn't have on our computers today bold, underline, italics. So if they wanted to make something very important, if God wanted to make it important, they'd repeat it, and repeat it again, and repeat it again. Somewhere throughout there to make you understand this is very important, and this could very well be the big idea that we want you to walk away with from this passage. So discovering key words and themes. So again, we're under the study, and this leads to what I tend to call the big idea, but some have called, maybe you've heard different words for this. Another word is the aim. Maybe you've heard the aim, the author's intended meaning. But what ultimately, as I walk away from verses 9 through 16, what ultimately do I need to walk away with? What is the big idea? Or some have even said the so what question. Now we say that reverently, but so what? This is great stuff, but what does this have to do with my life today? What is the big idea? Here I think we can see clear, obeying God's word requires an effective action plan. It requires responsibility on my part. God's word will protect me from sin. You can list all these truths that come out of here and maybe perhaps boil them down to one or two overarching ideas. Again, what are we doing here? We're coming at God's word from all the different questions and thoughts. Not that we're adding anything to God's word, but we're gleaning truths out of God's word. And then thirdly, you say, Pastor Sam, this could take a long time. Honestly, if you start doing this, you can read through this passage in a half hour. And I'm not saying in a half hour you get it all done, but you can go through these fairly quickly on one thing. But the issue is not quickness. The issue is learning the word of God. And you may say, you know what? I have got to come back to this tomorrow. So you keep your Bible open on the table, you close it up, you leave the notes, and you pick it up the next day. But going through these things, praying, studying, and then maybe you say, I can only study one verse today, but I'm going to meditate on it. Meditating is important. Remember, we talked about that. If we read God's word and we don't get all the nutrients out of it that God wants us to get, then we're missing out. We want to meditate. And so as he said in verse, we see in verse 9, I want to guard it to your Lord. I want to rehearse its thoughts. But also in verse 15, I'll meditate on your word, storing up your word. How do we meditate on God's word? Well, one way we can is to reread the passage. If it's one verse you're reading or two verses, read through it a number of times. Read through it after you've walked through it. Read it again. Rehearse its truth throughout the day. Maybe you have a note card. Sticky notes are great things. You can, you know, write it on a sticky note, put that verse that you read for the day, maybe put it in your laptop if you use a computer, put it on the dash of your car as you're going through. Now, don't read it while you're driving, okay? But as you get into your car, yeah, that's right, I've been focusing on this today. Maybe put it on your phone, somewhere that you can see God's word throughout the day. Also, memorizing. How many of you struggle with memorizing? Okay, that's me. You know the real way that I can memorize? Over and over and over and over again. Until it's just, I'm saying it almost, I'm thinking it. For me, I have to understand the concept to be able to memorize it. I've kind of always been that way. I struggled sometimes in school. Some kids would read something, photographic memory, boom, they're done. And I couldn't stand those kind of kids. Now I have a son who's kind of that way. He can read it and he just got it. But I would just, I'd be poring over stuff. But if I understood the concept, that was it. All of us are different, but memorize it. Memorize that passage and read over that passage. I'm not saying you have to sit and memorize all of Psalm 119, but perhaps this could be a help to you. Memorize it and convert or commit some of it to memory. Maybe there's a passage that really jumped out to you. This, I need this. So memorize it. And then this is a big one, ask good questions. It's not wrong to ask questions of the text. Ask good questions of the text. And here's just a couple that you could ask. What does this passage say about God? Because it's God's word. What does God say about himself? What does this passage teach about God? Well, it makes it very clear in this passage that God is to be blessed. Verse 12, blessed are you, O Lord. God is the one who can teach us his word. God is the one whose word is true and will guide us. But what does this tell me about God? He's true. He's right. He's pure. He's holy. And then what does this passage, secondly, what does it say about me? What does this passage say about me? Not all the passages will necessarily say something directly about us, but it will be in there. It'll always be guiding us to truths about God. But here, we see here, verse 9, but I need to guard my way. I need help because there are opportunities for me to veer off the right path. I need your word to be stored in my heart so that I will not sin against God. And so, what does this teach about me and my relationship with God? And then thirdly, how does God want me to obey his word right now? Not, you know, right now. How does God want me to obey his word today? Now, I'm not telling you have to say these questions, but these are the kind of questions we want to come to God's word with. And if we have these kind of questions, these are three that I like to ask to any passage I come to. Because if I read God's word and it doesn't teach me something about himself or my relationship to him or how I need to obey his word, then I'm probably not studying the word as I ought. I'm not letting it change me. I'm not letting it become part of my delight. And then after we do that meditation, the natural thing is to do it. So, fourthly, apply. Apply what God's word says for you to do. So we've talked about praying, prayer, reading the word, study, meditating on what we've read, and then applying it, obeying what God's word says for you to do. This just kind of makes sense. Because you wouldn't want to go to all this study and meditation and then be like, oh, okay, but I'm not going to obey it, right? As James says, be doers of the word, not just hearers only. Because if we do that, we deceive ourselves. So let's be doers of the word. So we need to determine how God wants you to fully obey his commands. From God's word, I need to walk away. I need to determine how does God want me to fully obey these commands. It could be in an area of our love for him, our love for one another. It's going to fall into one of those two categories. But maybe he talks about anger in here. Maybe he talks about diligence in here. Maybe he talks about evangelism in here. Maybe he talks about husbands loving their wives, wives loving their husbands, all the different things that God's word instructs us with. Determine how God wants you to fully obey his word. And then discover biblical principles that flow from God's command. We're going to take a couple minutes here in just a minute to talk about this. But you have a command, and from the command then comes a biblical principle from God's command. In light of this, this is a principle. And then from that, develop biblical convictions. How I'm going to live. How I'm going to apply this truth to my life so that we'll have holy, godly, Christian living. I'm just going to read from 1 John chapter 2. You don't need to turn there, but if you'd like to, it's way in the back, almost by Revelation. But we were in this passage this morning. Ben was teaching, and this passage just jumped out to me because this fits so well with what David is saying back in Psalm 119. But in 1 John chapter 2, this is speaking about Jesus and what he said to his disciples. He said to his church before, he said to us before he left. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, whoever says, I know him, I know Jesus, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in Christ ought to walk in the same way that he walked. It just makes sense. If you're a Christian, then live like Christ, right? Makes sense. So the call for us is to apply, obey what God's word says for us to do, because he's not going to tell us to do anything that's not going to make us become more like him and to become less like the world. I want to take a couple moments here, and if I could illustrate it this way. I don't know if this is easy to see, but I got these three circles. But the first one is God's commands. We read God's word. Be holy, for I am holy. And from that principle, from that we draw a principle. God calls his children to be like him. God calls us to be like him. Here's the command, be holy. Here's the principle. God wants us to be like him. He calls us to be like him. And then we go to a conviction, or some would say a standard. That's kind of old school, but I like that word standard or conviction. What is your conviction for your life then? How will you live out this command, this principle, how will it be seen in your life? What convictions do you have? Well, because God calls me to be holy, then I must abstain from evil. I need to love things that God loves. I need to hate things that God hates. And that's a very general thing, but we start with a command. From that command, we get a principle, and through that, we get our biblical convictions for how we live our life. Now, I'm going to give an example here that is a personal conviction for me. And I'm not saying this to lord this over anyone, but I want you to see how there are many things in Scripture that we must have a biblical answer for. And some people's biblical convictions, they may love God and be saved and know him as their Savior. Their convictions may appear different than another's convictions, but if their convictions are moored to Scripture, that's between them and the Lord, and we thank the Lord for that, even if their convictions are different. But if your biblical convictions are not biblical,
And they're just, well, I just want to do this. Well, this is just what I've always done. And you do not have a link back to a clear biblical command and a biblical principle, then you are on very shaky ground. We want to have everything more to Scripture. That's why we call ourselves Open Door Bible Church. That's why I try and encourage us so often, open the Bibles, read your Bible, because don't do this because Pastor Sam said it. Don't do this because Open Door Bible Church has always done it this way. Don't do this because, well, this is what my parents said. What does God say? And am I living my life in light of that? So here's one, and I'm not looking to step on toes, I'm not looking to start a division, but this is one that's very real, and we all have to make a decision on this. Okay? Here's one. We go to, here's a command, and this is a command. This is no, there's no questioning this command. This is a command, Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a command. That's not anyone making this up. This is right from the text of Scripture. Do not get drunk with wine. Okay, got that. Okay, biblical principle then would be, Christians must not become drunk or controlled by wine or any other alcoholic substances. If they do, they're sinning. That's not, again, reading it. I'm just explaining this command. Do not get drunk with wine. Okay, if Christian gets drunk, they are sinning. I mean, he just says it's debauchery if you get drunk. That's sin. Okay, so now I'm taking this to a principle. Okay, here's the principle. So now I have to have a biblical conviction on this. And again, I'm not trying to get into whatever here, but you're going to have to make a decision. And Christians will come to this at times different ways. But this is me personally, and I believe this is the right thing. I am voluntarily going to abstain from all alcoholic beverages. Now, that's not to make myself look better than anyone else. That's not to say, well, I don't want to support this company because I'm just saying God has told me that I cannot get drunk. And I do not want to get drunk. And I am not going to drink alcohol. That is not, I'm better than you if you do. There are some Christians, many Christians, who think, well, we can still, it doesn't say you can't drink, and it's right, it doesn't say you can't drink. But for me, I want to be careful. But that's just a very simple way, but it's a very practical way. And you need to moor yourself to Scripture. So as we go through everything that we do in our lives, we better have a biblical conviction, and it needs to be tied to a biblical principle that is grounded and moored in a biblical command. And there are many, many of those. But that ultimately is why we study God's Word, so that it changes us, so that we're more and more into the image of Christ. And so we need to develop. Now, you won't get this right away overnight. You won't say, oh, this, and boom, I got everything figured out. You're going to keep growing in these convictions. And there's convictions that I've had in the past that I've had to tweak. I've had to say, you know what? There isn't just one perfect way to do this. There actually could be a number of different ways. And so I want to be growing in my wisdom and knowledge of the Word of God. But it has to be tied to Scripture. Does that make sense? And at the end of the day, we're all going to stand and give an account before God. Not what, oh, how did Pastor Sam live his life? Did we obey God's Word? That's the end of the day. The bottom line. And we got to be careful we don't become legalistic or pharisaical. Remember the Pharisees? They went above and beyond, and they thought they had biblical convictions that went way to the extreme of legalism. You can only walk this many steps on a Sunday if you love God. What? They went to the extreme. So we pray for balance, right? We got to be balanced as we do this. And then lastly, I would just say, and we'll prepare to close, we pray before we come to God's Word. We study the Word, we meditate on it, we apply it, and then we share it. And this is where it comes to us as a church family predominantly. Tell others what God is teaching you in His Word. So I would say we get together. How do I share God's Word? Well, one of the easiest ways that we can share the Word among people who love, should love to hear the Word, is to get together with godly Christians throughout the week. And that's, again, where our church directory or other things come to bear. Show hospitality. I was encouraging to talk to some folks already this morning. Hey, can we get together for lunch? Or can we do this here? We do that. That's what we want to do. We want to be together, sharing what God is doing in our hearts and lives. Hospitality, encouragement, generosity. I put church structure into here. I'm not saying you have to, but that's why it's there. It's not there just to keep a log, but it's so that we will be able to get together to encourage and to share what God's teaching us. Another one, again, that should be easy for us and should be welcome and should be a delight is to get together faithfully, gather faithfully for corporate worship with other Christians. Now, those four steps that we talked about, four helps, I'm not saying those helps, that's personal worship. That is worship. When we read God's Word, it's worship. You're worshiping God by studying His Word, but God doesn't want it just to be personal only. That's where corporate worship, we come together and we worship God as His church. So Sunday gatherings. Some people ask me, Pastor Sam, why do we have Sunday school or why do we have Sunday evening? Why do we do that? Why don't we just meet one time? Because we want to gather as much as we can to hear the Word of God. Sunday school is a time that is specifically for doing what we're talking about right here. It's specifically for learning the Word of God and studying it and having dialogue and talking and asking questions and growing and learning. It really is a Bible study hour. And I'm so thankful for our Sunday school teachers who teach our children. Here's what God's Word says, and here's how you can ask questions about the Word, and here's what God has for you. I'm thankful for the men who are teaching in the adult Sunday school class. We're almost done with the Gospel Project class. We're going to be going into 1 John, an exposition, verse by verse, for the book of John. I'm so excited for this opportunity. It'll begin probably this spring in Sunday school. Why? So that we can know the Word of God, not just know about it, but know it well. I'd encourage you, if you're not part of Sunday school, give it a try. It's a part where we do this. We gather faithfully. We meet at 9:30. We don't have any frills. We just open the Word of God and we pray and we go through the Word of God together. That's at 9:30. But then we have Sunday morning and Sunday evening. Sunday evening is also for gathering together. Most of the time, every time, we will have a focus on the Word of God in some way in that service, but it will be gathering together and sharing, learning together more about God's Word, and even as we fellowship, sharing what God is teaching us. And then we have Wednesday prayer meeting. We come to pray. We pray. And as we pray that God will help His Word take root in our hearts. We pray for the needs of others. We tell others what God is teaching us in His Word. So I'd encourage you, these are the easy ones. Now I say easy in a careful way. I understand it's challenging for some folks to get out, but this is one of the most basic ways that we share the Word of God. But then we can go beyond that, too. We can study God's Word with other Christians, maybe on our own as well. Bible studies, small groups. We're looking at trying to, hopefully at our quarterly meeting in the end of April, we'll be sharing some ways that we're trying to encourage small groups, small Bible studies to begin within our church family. But at the end of the day, we want to have a plan. Remember this little children's song? Did you sing this growing up in Sunday school? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. I have to admit, I'll just be honest here, when I did that song, I was looking forward to the jumping up. Because you start kind of down. You'd be like, read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow, grow, grow. The very end, grow, and you jump. And I was like, yeah, that's great. But then what was the next verse? Neglect your Bible. Do children know what that word means, neglect? Well, someone recently, Sarah heard someone, and they were teaching the children, don't read your Bible. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. We don't want that. But that's really the truth. Christ says, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. I pray that we aren't neglecting the Holy Scriptures. I pray that we are growing in the Word of God. And so obeying God's Word, it requires an effective action plan. I don't say this to make you think, oh, Pastor Sam's got it figured out. I'm right there with you. I'm growing with you. I need to pray. I need to study, meditate, apply, and share with others. But that's not just for Pastor Sam. It's for all of us. So I hope that you can be encouraged with this. And also, as we go forward, we are going to hopefully, in the next couple Sundays, put this into action on Sunday. So here's some homework. I told you it's a different kind of service. What, he's giving us homework now on Sundays? Oh my word. What's going on? Read Daniel chapter 1 if you can before next Sunday. What I'd like to do in the next 6 Sunday mornings, we're going to put this to the test. We're going to pray, study, meditate, apply, and hopefully share. We're going to go through the first 6 chapters of Daniel. So next Sunday, we'll hopefully look at Daniel chapter 1. And then 2, 3, 4, all the way through 6. And I hope that'll encourage us. And as we have this time at the beginning of the year, as we're looking at the blueprint of God's church, we're focused on the Word of God, I hope this will be an encouragement to your hearts. Because there will be a context. There will be questions to ask. There will be principles and convictions that we need to make based upon what we see in these passages of Scriptures. But at the end of the day, may we glorify God. May we love Him. And as our next song is going to say, we've made a commitment. I hope we've made a commitment to serve God with our lives. It starts with the Word, and so may we be excited about reading His Word together. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for